Today is a very big day for sleep-deprived medical residents around the country. Their work week has been reduced from over 100 hours a week to 80. What this could mean for patients and hospitals is our topic for the rest of the hour. If you're a resident or a doctor who's experienced these long hours, we'd like to hear from you. How do they affect the service you provide? Do you see this change as a positive or negative development? Give us a call at 800-989-TALK or email us at totn@npr.org. Joining us to talk about what this change means for young doctors is David Seelich. He's the executive director of the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education, and he's with us from his office in Chicago. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good afternoon. Greetings from Chicago.
Now, starting today, medical residents won't be working over 80 hours per week. This is a huge cultural change, I would think, in the medical world.
This is a very important week. As some of your listeners may not know, when a physician in training, a medical student, gets their MD degree, they are not fully formed, and they have to enter one of 7,800 residency programs in the United States that range from 3 to 7 years in duration to get the practical skills needed to be a physician, and they must do that before they can practice independently. There are 100,000 of those residents. About 22,000 started for the first time in their residency this week, and for all 100,000 and for the first time in all specialties, these duty hour requirements are in effect.
Well, why the change? I mean, on one level, it's certainly obvious that residents who have to work over 100 hours a week are sleep deprived. That could lead to accidents, I imagine. Is that the main reason for it? Or?
Yeah, I think it's important to have some historical context. The reason they're called residents is that they used to reside in the hospital. They literally would sleep, eat, and live in the hospital for the duration of their training. Another word for residents is house officers, because they were always in the house. Over the years, that has not been true, and they've had a more normal lifestyle, but still working incredibly long hours. The recent changes are provoked by really three things. Residents are doing more in less time and with less help. They're doing more because of the technologic advances that have occurred in medicine. They are doing it in less time because of the financial incentives that have resulted in a tremendously shortened length of stay for patients in the hospital. And they're doing it with less help because hospitals have been under financial constraints and have laid off support staff that used to do some of the work. As the accrediting body responsible for the quality of these residency programs, we have seen their educational experiences compromised by excessive service demands. And so we've come up with these new regulations.
How's this going to affect hospitals? Is it going to tax an already overburdened health system?
It is. And we're very anxious about that. The healthcare system as a whole is broken, and residents live in the cracks of that broken system. They do get the work done when no one else can because they're always there. They tend to be hypervigilant because they know that the system can injure patients, and they look out for those system issues. In removing, to some extent, the resident availability, other more sophisticated and more predictable systems that are less dependent on overworked residents will need to be developed. We're pleased that the CEOs of the major teaching hospitals in this country have risen to that challenge and are very focused on patient safety and on improving the systems of healthcare. But we think this change will provoke such improvement across the board.
We're talking about the change in the hours that residents work in hospitals, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. If you'd like to join our discussion, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK, and let's take a call now from Lisa in New Orleans. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, I'm a surgery resident in New Orleans, and I think it's bad for patient care, actually, to have this limitation on our hours.
Why is that?
The continuity of care when you're caring for a patient and you're in the hospital, and you know, I've done it for 4 years, when you're in the hospital for 24, 36 hours, I mean, you kind of live and breathe and eat it, and that's what you do, and all you're there for is for the patients. And when you have to sign out the care to someone else, it just, not everyone will have the same work ethic as you do, and I don't think it provides any continuity of care.
Dr. Leach, can you respond to that?
Lisa is quite typical of a number of residents, especially surgical residents, who are absolutely devoted to their patients and to continuity of care. They've been trained that way for a long time, and the system is very dependent on them. The model of care, however, has shifted from one of individual accountability to one of team accountability. It has gotten too complex for any one person to assume a complete responsibility for the patient care at all times. At the end of a 36-hour shift, residents go home, and that continuity is not provided anymore. And this new regulation will require that they go home either that they go off their usual duties at the end of 24 hours. It is a bit of an illusion to say that continuity was provided in the old system. It's a bit of an overstatement to say it's not going to be provided in the new system. I think that the other intervening variable is really sophisticated sleep science data that points out that all humans become compromised in their function, no matter how devoted they are, when they get to a certain level of fatigue.
Okay, thanks so much for your call, Lisa. Let's take a call from Ben in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I have a family member who's fresh out of medical school, and he's right as we speak now, he's in the middle of his first 30-hour shift, and several days before he was set to start, he was basically told from an official in the hospital to not count on them enforcing this new regulation, and that they would be working the same hours as before. And I'm just curious, how are they going to be enforcing this new regulation?
Good question. Thanks so much, Ben. Dr. Lee?
Thank you.
That is a good question. And we've ratcheted up our enforcement procedures because of that. Although the ACGME is a private, independent accrediting organization, our work is recognized by the federal government. And each residency program gets significant money through Medicare to support the teaching of residents. For a major academic medical center, that might amount to as much as $100 million a year. That's contingent on the programs in that institution being accredited. If we withdraw accreditation, that's a very heavy financial incentive for the hospital and we find, in fact, that when we threaten withdrawal, the institutions and programs fix whatever is broken. As part of our new regulations, we are doing internet-based surveys of residents that are confidential and anonymous and that come in directly to the ACGME. Our site visitors visit 2,100 of the 7,800 programs each year and interview residents in confidence, as well as looking at their schedules and talking with the faculty and program directors and others about the workload. And so we think that between site visits and more enhanced and more confidential communication with residents, that we can meet the enforcement challenges.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Leach.
Happy to be with you.
Dr. David C. Leach is the Executive Director of the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education. He joined us from his office in Chicago. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, filling in for Neil Conan, NPR News.